podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route! Bears 7! Hot Route!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 163 of Hogan Johns. We've officially arrived at football time.
It's about time.
There's a game being played on Thursday.
10 practices in the books. I guess you could call the Hall of Fame game another elaborate practice as well. I don't think we're going to see many of the starters, but alas, it's about time to see some football.
Yeah, and
tackling.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be terribly exciting, but it's
might be terrible.
We'll at least have a better view than we've had during practice.
Yeah, maybe. I've never been to Canton.
Well, it's on TV, so I mean, even if you miss something during the game, you can go back and watch it.
Okay, I get what you're
saying. We do not have that ability during practice. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, who is back with us. What's up, Joe?
Back at it. Here we go, fellas.
Yeah, it's good to have Joe back with us because he's not always able to do that when we're in Bourbonnais. Just, you know, the way technology works, it's not always possible.
How's the complaint department doing, Joe?
Oh, we're running smooth, getting complaints daily, I'd say, maybe even hourly.
Hourly?
Yeah.
That bad now, that bad.
But we are also getting contributions from our listeners for Joe. If I can properly pull this up here, because this was tweeted in the other day. We did sneak it in the podcast, I think our last one. But, Joe, what are your feelings on this this new drop that we have for you?
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey, Joey Jojo!
I love it.
Now, if I remember right, you guys used like the end of that back in the Quigs and Finfer days, right?
We sure did, yeah.
But not the whole thing.
Yeah, just the end of it. And actually, Dan Levy, he played it way back when we were, you know, only on the stream with Harry Tynowitz. So,
yeah. I'm sure Harry loved it.
Yep. Well, I mean, The Simpsons is probably the best TV show of all time, so.
Still going.
Yep.
See, that's one of those deals where, like, I always get mad at people when they argue against things that are clearly, you know, some of the best products ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was never a Simpsons guy, but I would never sit here and say, oh, no, that's not true. It's not the best show of all time.
What is the best show of all time to an Adam Hogue?
Ooh. I don't know. I have shows that I... You know what I'll say? I think season one of True Detective might actually be one of the best shows ever. But you can't say it because it was, you know, the second season was so terrible.
Okay.
Very Cavallari.
Yeah, very Cavallari. Yeah. It's kind of come and gone in my mind. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, you got over that real fast.
Real fast.
I haven't even watched the last two episodes
real
myself.
Fast. Either have I. Real
well,
fast.
You know, this thing called Bears training camp started.
Yeah, that did happen. But if they were just following Jay Cutler around with a camera, I may watch five episodes as opposed to the two that we have that I've endured.
There's been a lot of Jay, though.
There's been like 5 minutes of Jay in some of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting there for an hour watching that show for only 5 minutes of Jay. That's 55 minutes of my life I cannot get back.
This was the same guy that like a couple episodes ago on the podcast was like actually arguing that it was a good show.
I did not go that far.
I think you kind of did.
No, I did not.
Because I was like, and the show's terrible. And you're like, it's not that bad.
No, I was trying to give him show him some love.
All right. You can read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. You do not get very Cavallari coverage there. Maybe somewhere in the Sun Times.
No, yeah, Richard Roper wrote a review of it. I did not read it. I saw it tweeted. Maybe I'll click on it later. Everybody should click on it. Support the Sun Times. I think it was a scathing review, though, of Jay Cutler's reality show.
Like, is it recent or?
Yeah, it was yesterday on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, tune in wherever you listen to your podcast, and please rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. All right. So as we record this, the Bears are going to be off to Canton tomorrow. The game is Thursday. It is Tuesday as we record this. Practice is over. And we heard from Vic Fangio for the first time today in camp. It's good to hear from him. There's a couple of things going on here. All right, first of all, the big story that we obviously have to address is Roquan Smith, because there's been new information brought to light that kind of allows us to discuss this more than we have. I mean, in the past, it wasn't even really clear what they were arguing over. All we could really talk about was how big of an impact it was that he was not around. Now we actually had something to debate in terms of what exactly Roquan Smith is asking for, what his agent is asking for, and why the Bears are not giving it to him. And it has to do with, I mean, it's been kind of painted as this helmet rule situation. That's not real. I mean, that's part of it, but it's not the whole story.
It's always about money. It's about money.
Well,
it's always about money.
The deal is that I think you're seeing agents fight against something very specific. I didn't even know until this week that the NFL Players Association actually in the last year like did a full scale review of contracts for this language that's thrown in there that can void guaranteed money based on suspensions, fines, or anything. Like, you violate any of that, all of a sudden team can go, oh yeah, that money that is actually supposed to be guaranteed, now we can take that away from you too.
I don't care what the NFLPA says.
Okay.
It is the weakest union amongst all of sports.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that they can't actually do something good for once.
You know what? Then have some foresight for once. They're so reactionary. Wasn't it not too long ago where DeMore Smith was on the radio was talking about the, what was going on here in Chicago, where they're trying to pass legislation downtown or in Springfield or whatnot. I just find them so reactionary. I hate when the NFLPA starts sticking their nose in things because, again, they have shown a lack of unity unanimously throughout the years.
All right, well, regardless of what your personal feelings are about the NFLPA, doesn't it seem ridiculous, the idea that players can have their guaranteed money taken away if they get suspended for a helmet-to-helmet hit?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So you can understand where Roquan Smith's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that the whole conversation then? I mean, so we're siding with
next
Roquan?
Topic. I don't think the Bears are trying to do anything different than they haven't done before. I think,
but that doesn't make it right.
So they're going to change everything.
I mean, if there's this widespread language that was put in every contract that was ever written.
It's my understanding they are asking for something so specific that it's never been done before.
Well, it got done yesterday with Sam Darnold.
Quarterback.
It got done with Tremaine Edmonds 17 days after he was drafted.
Quarterback.
Tremaine Edmonds is a linebacker.
Okay. So what if, have you seen the there is in Tremaine Edmonds' contract, same agents, by the way. His money does void for an egregious amount of suspension. So that language is in there. It was by Tim Graham in The Athletic.
Yeah, I saw that.
So why not agree to the same deal? To my understanding, they want more.
More than what Tremaine
Edmonds. Yes, and I saw people comparing it, Saquon Barkley got some of this in his contract. Someone else had it in his contract. We're talking about a linebacker here, so it's a bit different. So Tremaine Edmonds is probably your best comparison.
Here's why this seems so silly, though. Who cares how many? What is even the definition of egregious number of suspensions?
I would say two is egregious.
Under these new rules,
we don't know how it's going to play out. First of all, the agent doesn't know how it's going to play out. The Bears don't know how it's going to play out.
But the fundamental issue here, and I want everyone to understand this. If in 3 years the Bears are in any kind of situation where they're looking to take away Roquan Smith's guaranteed money, it means they drafted a bad player. It means they screwed up.
That's the only reason this language is in there. That's something down the line.
But it's not. This is the issue. It's not about the helmet rule. It's not about the helmet rule at all. It's that these little clauses are put in contracts. Everyone needs to understand this. These clauses are only put in these contracts to give teams the ability to get out of their mistakes. Otherwise, there's no need for them at all. And rookie contracts are the contracts that have fully guaranteed money. And teams want to give themselves the out if they screw up and draft a bad player.
Why wouldn't he agree to the same contract that the Buffalo Bills signed Tremaine Edmonds to?
I don't know. I don't know that that hasn't happened. Are you sitting there now reporting that he didn't? I'm not.
I'm saying there's probably more to this. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what is the more? What could it possibly be?
Because we don't know. People are saying it's the helmet rule. Now, all of a sudden, it's not the helmet rule. I don't think people have fully grasped the information here. I don't think anybody does. I think what we've seen is that the Bears have become... I'm not trying to defend the Bears completely in this situation, but they've been painted in the corner, and I was like, they're the enemy in this. They have not had any issue signing other draft picks until now. Until this one agent's come up, the same agent who represents Joey Bosa, and took this thing to the limit.
Because in the last year, Johnsy, the agents have decided that they're going to fight against this stupid language that's in contracts. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's not all stupid. If you go commit domestic violence and get arrested for I believe teams should be able to get out of the contract. If you're cheating, if you're taking PEDs,
so it's all not all ridiculous. So they should be able. They should all be able to protect themselves.
But did you see what Dan Graziano reported yesterday about how like Mitch Trubisky?
We talked about this.
If he disagrees with any little thing that from a schematic standpoint in a press conference, technically the Bears can take away his guaranteed money.
It's kind of far fetched. Now you're going to the extreme. You said yourself,
it's not far fetched. It's what's literally in his contract.
In certain contracts that we sign in the media, we get in trouble for the same exact thing.
I understand that.
People who have contracts with other businesses have the same exact thing. It's still a business. I'm not trying to defend the Bears.
It sounds like you are. You're fully Team Bears here.
I think everybody's ganged up on the Bears, thinking they're the absolute bad guy in this for some odd reason.
I think that the Bears have been put in...
I think there's been a release of information against the Bears to make them look awful. Look at this. I think we've all been kind of... First, there was the release of Pro Football Talk, where he kind of threw it out there. Turns out to be right a few days
Matt
later.
Matt Nagy's the one that leaked the helmet thing.
No, it was in Pro Football Talk 2 days before that.
So that's why it was addressed?
Yes.
Okay. But it's not really about the helmet thing.
No, according to Don Graziano, it's not.
But it's... Yes, are you not agreeing with that?
What do you mean?
That it's not about the helmet?
Well, I think it's all about money. It's all about money.
No, it's about... Yes, it's about protecting what's guaranteed in your contract. Look, we get into this every...
You don't... Okay. So, what's an... define egregious to you, since that's what's the language you used in Tremaine Edmonds' contract. How would you define egregious?
I don't know. I don't know how they're defining it.
Yes.
I don't think it matters. I think, again, in 3 years, if you're trying to take guaranteed money away from Roquan Smith, it's your problem. You screwed up. Scout better.
What if the player becomes a problem?
That's different. That doesn't seem to be what they're arguing about, though. I mean, unless there's not information out on that.
All right, so, okay.
Now, if Roquan's agents... are saying that it should all be taken out of there. Any language, you can't criticize the team. If I get arrested for domestic violence, if I get suspended for PEDs,
you don't think that should be in there?
What I'm saying is, if that's what this is really about, if they're arguing over all of that, well, then I can see why the Bears are pushing back. But specifically with this helmet nonsense, if that's really what this is being hung up about, which I agree with you. I think it's got to be more than that. Because I don't understand. If you're the Bears, why would you not want your middle linebacker to... I would think you would want to take that out and have the players back on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've already shown a backing of a player for a similar instance. They've already had a suspended linebacker. They didn't go after his money. I think it works both ways. That's all I'm saying. Right? Sometimes you have the agency and their goals, and you have the team and their goals. And, you know, it does take two to tango. Use any cliche that you want. But to reach this point, there is definitely more than just the gosh darn helmet rule. Let's be clear about it.
Okay.
If it was as simple as protecting the player, I think it would have been agreed upon at this point.
By which side?
Both. Okay. Both. Both.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, well, I don't understand why the Bears wouldn't agree to that.
Yeah. So, why can't there be more? It seems to be more.
Well, maybe there is. I don't know.
I mean, what did Pace say on the old Cap and Company yesterday? Sometimes not all the full information is out there.
Maybe not. I don't know. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this helmet thing.
Okay. And I think it's beyond that, though.
Then what else would it be?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not in their meetings. I'm not a representative from CEA. I'm not Joey Lane of the Chicago Bears.
Well, I guess my official stance on this is that if it's anything reasonable, this idea that the guarantee money can be taken away for these stupid little fines and suspensions, that should be taken out.
This negotiation, if you want to call it that, has piqued the interest of a lot of people around the league. I think something different is at play here. Like, the CAA, the most powerful football agency there is trying to force the Bears' hand on something. I'm just maybe giving an educated guess here that has piqued the interest of a lot of teams, a lot of representatives around the league. In the agent world, the NFL world, I think it's interesting.
But I guess the question I'm getting at is, if you're the Bears, why is this worth fighting?
Well, I think the helmet...
Why not get your player... You got to get your player in.
I get that. You think the player should want to be in. You think the agent would want to get his player in.
Well, and it's possible that Roquan's being taken advantage here a little bit and is fighting a much bigger fight than than just one player. I think that's pretty obvious at this point. But this is a league where the owners get every advantage. They have all the power.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I am pro player in a lot of issues. That's why I take evidence. Like, I'm a union writer. Like, if you have a problem with the way things are set, then do something about it. Well, John Yurkovich talks about it all the time on ESPN.
And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
We always, anytime there's a veteran holding out, the reaction is, well, you shouldn't have signed that contract.
Yeah.
You should have worked this out before you signed the contract.
You talk to some of these agents, though.
And that's what Roquan's doing right now. And I'm not going to fault him for that.
The contracts that they're bound to because of the CBA and the stuff they're allowed to do, they're getting a raw deal. They've been getting a raw deal since the last CBA.
So I'm not going to criticize a player who's sitting here trying to fight for it, especially if it could be better off for everyone. And it's, by the way, Sam Acho talked today in Bourbonnais. And said that he's been watching it very closely and seemed very, very supportive of Roquan Smith. And he's the NFLPA rep for the Bears. So, you know, I understand that Dave Wannstedt could show up to Bourbonnais and call it selfish and all these things.
Well, he speaks from experience. But I'm sure he's still bitter about Curtis Enos and how his career turned out.
He's the coach. And I bet you if you polled most of the Bears players, they're 100% on Roquan Smith's side.
Well, you know what? Then they should be 100% to lock themselves out, be locked out in the league a couple of years and fight for everything guaranteed they can get.
Well, I think we're headed towards something huge.
Well, it should reach that because this last CBA does not help them by any means.
But in the meantime, I don't think the player should just be laying down and just every beating that they possibly can from the owners.
No.
This seems something that's totally worth fighting for, that's been discovered kind of in the last year. The agents are fighting back, and unfortunately, it's just a situation where the Bears are...
When do you end your fight?
For which side?
Roquan's side. Say the Bears are like, forget it.
I don't know. I mean, Joey Bosa went all the way to the end of August, ended up missing the first four games. Honestly, don't know. I mean, the practice time's huge.
And people will say Joey Bosa had immediate success, but these are entirely different positions. Joey Bosa could be a defensive end. Go get quarterback. There's your job. Roquan Smith, I need you to call the defense. A little bit more problematic. Quite a few more responsibilities.
I mean, if we're getting to the point where the regular season's in jeopardy, then if I'm Roquan, specifically the player, not talking about his agent, and I know, hey, look, I'm not going to be a guy who's getting in trouble. I'm not going to be, you know, giving the team reasons for to get rid of me anyway. Maybe I get a new agent and I get this thing sorted out so I can play football. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I'm the agency, trying to look at it from that perspective, you know, I might try to fight it to the death.
What's what happened with Joey Bosa? They had to call in another agent to get the deal done.
Right. And if I'm the Bears, I just don't understand really why this is worth fighting for so much. It seems like a completely reasonable thing to give up.
That's why there's got to be more to it, man.
But even to the point where, let's say he's asking for all of these, the guaranteed language to be fully guaranteed and not to have any opt-outs or the default language or anything. He wants it all out of there, no matter what the penalty is. Again, I go back to the fact that if you're even in the situation where you're trying to get out of that money, which I can't even think of a time when that's happened, you're the one that screwed up. You're the team's the one. You made a bad draft pick. Right.
Well, that's the all set language, especially with all the quarterbacks and whatnot.
I mean, in some regard, the fact that you're even fighting this is hard seems to show some kind of doubt in the player that you drafted. It shouldn't be that big of an issue. Yeah.
That's why if you I think believe, there's more.
If you believe...
Is it so hard to believe that there might be more to this than just the helmet rule that we don't know how it's going to play out?
What else?
Could be a lot of things.
You keep saying more, but that's such a vague term. Yeah. What could it be?
Money.
The money's already slotted.
It's money. It's the flow of money. It's protection of the money. And it's setting a course that's I don't think has been chartered before.
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
They're asking for things that have never been done.
All right. I don't know. All right. Well, I guess, unfortunately, the Bears are going to play a game Thursday. And the Roquan Smith's not going to be there. And all of a sudden, they're going to play a game in a week.
Well, okay. Even if he was here, you don't want to play him that much anyway.
Sure, but...
I mean, Mitch Trubisky's probably not going to play. Jordan Howard's already said he's not going to play.
Right. I'm just saying the weeks are ticking away here, whether they're games or practices or whatever. Right. This is 2 weeks ago. We're over 2 weeks
right.
that he was supposed to report.
Right.
So
the sides have dug in.
And Matt Nagy did call this a stalemate today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... let me go back to something I think I said maybe the first podcast in Bourbonnais. I think it's really disappointing that this keeps happening. Whatever it is... The Bears' first-round draft picks under Ryan Pace, it's drama every year. I don't know why. It's been for different reasons. A lot of it's been out of the control of the Bears. I think this one, they take most of the blame. But, you know, you can't control Kevin White getting hurt. That was unfortunate. Leonard Floyd, you probably knew when you drafted him, you weren't drafting a guy who's going to be 100% ready for week one, that he was going to need a little bit more developmental, more of a project. But there was that thing going on. And then last year, the whole situation with Mitch Trubisky, I understand why they handled it the way they did to bring in protection with Mike Glennon and everything, but a lot of that was more drama when they got to camp. And it's a really awkward situation. So here we are again, and the guy's not even reporting. It's just, it's really weird that this keeps happening every year.
Karma, you're saying?
Not karma. It's just
you want somebody to blame. Who are you blaming?
I think I've made it very clear that I understand. I don't know. I don't know that I'm blaming anyone. I just understand where Roquan Smith's side's coming from on mm-hmm. this. I get it. I mean, this is a league where, especially when you compare it to the NBA, where it's like the other extreme, where the players run everything. And you could sort of understand why teams would be like, well, man, I don't understand why LeBron James can just choose wherever he wants to go and you know build whatever latest super team is. But even then, you're like, you're siding with billionaires. And it is, in some ways, it's millionaires versus billionaires. But the players don't have a lot of control. And more than any other sport, they're putting their bodies on the line. And we've seen it over and over again. We're going to see it here in another few weeks. For somebody, we're not expecting their career is going to be over.
Yeah. No, I get Roquan's side. I do. He should have some protections in there. But to me, more should be a vague term. For it to reach this point, there has to be more. We're on day 15. It's going to go past this preseason game. We're going to hit 20 days before we know it. If it was as simple as the helmet rule and having him be protected in some sense, this deal would be done by now.
Yeah, well, I think that, yeah, I think
it
that
makes sense, yeah. even for the Bears to help their guy out. Put it in writing.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to put that in writing.
Yeah.
Especially when last year you backed your guy, Trevathan, in a situation where I actually thought that he should be suspended. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a totally unnecessary hit. And I agree that video has been put into the referee video this year showing of an example of a hit that will be suspended going forward. Because it was completely unnecessary, in my opinion. I don't think it was malicious. I don't think he's a malicious player. But I thought it was a hit that was unnecessary for a guy who was already tied up. And I understand why the league is now saying that's going to be a suspension going forward.
I don't think anybody knows how this helmet rule is going to play out.
Well, and that's the other big conversation here today.
If you listen to the league itself, Troy Vincent, 40,000 hits reviewed, 3 suspendable from last season. Proving intent? That's difficult. Beyond difficult.
The thing that bothered me when we sat in our meeting with Walt Coleman and the officials, and it was one of my first questions I asked, was they went through on the video, here's an example of helmet-to-helmet hits that are going to be flagged 15 yards. And then here's the criteria for getting suspended. And off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me, but it's very vague. It almost is like one of those things where it's like the same thing written 3 ways.
They had no idea how it's going to play out.
And then they showed, you know, the examples of what would be a suspension. And I asked Walt, I said, can you go through exactly what, again, is the difference between the 15-yard penalty and the ejection? Because that seems incredibly vague here.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was, well, it's going to be one of those things where when you see it, you know it. Now, he did also say many, many times it'll also be a situation where a guy's already held up and someone comes flying in.
Yeah.
That still seems very, very vague.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was also the tuck rule ref, so I wouldn't trust anything that he says.
Here's the thing, though. If a guy stood up and they're fighting for extra yardage, they got to blow that whistle because players are coming. Stop the forward progress, the momentum, whatever. Blow that whistle because players are naturally going to come and make sure that guy is tackled.
Well, Vic Fangio talked about it today. Said he's shown the guys videos of things they can correct, and then they've also shown videos of things where they don't really know how it's going to play out.
Yeah. Even from the offensive side, Walt Coleman said there's a difference between a player protecting himself and a player lowering his head to deliver a hit.
Yeah.
And it can look very similar. Your natural reaction when you're about to get hit is to lower yourself to brace yourself. And you're naturally lowering your helmet. It's fascinating. It's interesting.
And they don't always get it right even at the college level. I mean, this has been going on for a while. And, you know, last year...
Well, players get ejected for the targeting. You're talking about that?
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest comp we have for what they're talking about doing here in the NFL is the college targeting rule. But, I mean, in Northwestern's bowl game last year, Patty Fisher came in, hit a guy with his head up right in the, like, kind of collarbone area. But head up. And he got ejected and... It was looked at and they upheld it and tossed him out of the game. And I'm like, if I were to show a kid the exact proper way to tackle to protect yourself, not only yourself, but the other person, that's the video I would show. Yeah. And he got kicked out of the game for it.
Football is naturally violent. It's always going to be violent. You're trying to legislate some of the violence in a sport that's gotten increasingly faster every single season. Even the Trevathan hit, I was torn on that. Because Davante Adams is lowering himself. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces. Yeah, maybe he comes in with the shoulder, a little bit different. but there's always going to be contact, and it's moving contact. The contact is always on the move. It's hard to find the target when the target is moving.
Yeah. Well, going back to that play, my issue was that he was already being held up, and I didn't see why you need to come flying in there the way he did when the guy was already held up by two other teammates. So from that standpoint,
you're trying to change football players who have been playing a game instinctually and aggressively, and you want them to play instinctually and aggressively for years.
Well, I think to some exchange, though, the change is fair. One of those being when a player is already in the process of being tackled, that puts him in a completely defenseless position. I don't think offensive players should be in a spot where they can't defend themselves. Yeah. You know, if a guy's running, or he's trying to put on a juke move, or he spins into a, you know, a lot of times you see with a spin move, you end up spinning right into a defender and getting crushed. That's on you, man.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done that.
But
when someone's already being held up by another defender and someone else comes flying in there and you cannot defend yourself, that's got to be taken out of the game.
But you've seen highlights where the guy shakes off that tackler and keeps going. Is this going to become a hug fest out there? Maybe.
I see what you're saying, but then the original guy should have made the tackle.
Well, it's the offensive guy to break that tackle. You know, it's complicated. And, you know, when you play high football at every level, the defensive players are told, you know, taught to run to the ball, aggressively run to the ball to make sure that player is down.
I know. Well, that's where they got to adapt. There has to be some adaptation. But you're right. I mean, what we're talking about here is a very blurry line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
And it's going to start on Thursday night.
It's starting with Roquan Smith putting his foot down, or his camp putting its foot down.
Well, I thought you said it wasn't about that.
It's part of that. You're complicating this. I think it's more complicated than meets the eye, personally.
Well, and speaking of complicated, the other thing that the Bears are being thrown into here, just because they're one of two teams that are getting on the field before everyone else, is the national anthem situation. Which there was another big discussion today in Bourbonnais about that. Matt Nagy said that they're in the process of discussing that with the team. There's going to be meetings. He said whatever they do on Thursday night, it's going to be together, though. Now, Sam Acho spoke today, and he's kind of been the team voice on all of this.
On a lot of things lately.
Yeah, but also the national anthem. He made it sound like he couldn't guarantee that everyone was going to do the same thing, because everyone has different beliefs. So, it'll be interesting. Remember, you got 90-man rosters now. You got a lot more players out there than you even do during the regular season.
All right, do you side with George McCaskey's belief that it's a workplace issue? Like you're
as opposed to a First Amendment issue?
Like you're representing your business in a place of business within a major business. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I do.
So do I.
Yeah, I think I do. I guess where I would, though, tend to disagree is if I was running a business, is I wouldn't have any problem in how anyone wants to protest racial injustice in our country, however they want to do it, even if that includes the national anthem.
Right.
And again, I get back to, I thought that we were over this, and I think we would have been over this. I think that the whole point of the national anthem protest was to start the conversation, to get the spotlight on it. The players succeeded in that. And that got us to the point where now you have Chris Long, Malcolm Jenkins, you know, guys like Sam Acho doing a ton in the community, actually putting action beyond just these protests. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the league decides to pass an anthem policy. That seems so unnecessary. And
they discussed it at length at various meetings. They did.
Right, but my point is it didn't need to be put in writing. Mm-hmm. The players were past the anthem. They had moved on from it. And they got...
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am.
Like, concretely. Like, absolutely, there would have been nothing at all whatsoever.
I don't know, there would have been nothing, but the... I specifically remember the day the anthem policy came out, and I got texts from three different players that said this wasn't even a thing anymore.
Well, it's going to be a thing.
Well, it because is. That's my point. Yeah. The NFL made this an anthem thing again. Yeah. They made this a problem.
Yeah.
And they definitely made it a problem by not consulting the NFLPA on it.
But only, yeah,
I agree. Now they're in discussions together to try to resolve that, because the NFLPA rightly said, what the hell?
Well, they're part of the president's politics now, and they're trying to remove themselves from that, and the owners had a misguided decision to try to take them away from that.
Well, they've screwed this
up. And I think they're forever part of the president's politics. They're like his rallying point whenever he wants to get people motivated for his reasons.
When it continues, I mean, you had two instances with the Cowboys yesterday. One reporter was supposed to had a scheduled interview with Jerry Jones, and 1 minute before the interview started, as Jerry Jones showed up, they told him that there could be no questions about the anthem, and so the reporter canceled the interview.
Where's the reporter from?
Who was it? Dallas. Hang on. It was... he's done this interview 25 years in a row. It was a big deal. He's one of the TV reporters there.
Well, they've already come out and said... He's come out and said after the fact that players should be standing.
Oh, well, that's the thing. He is very strongly and doubled down on this in the last few days. That's going to be his stance on this with the players. I'm not finding this right now, which exact reporter it was, but it's one of the Fox reporter for the local Dallas affiliate that's been covering the team for 25 years, and every year in Oxnard, California, where the Cowboys have training camp, he sits down with Jerry Jones on his Sunday show, and this was the same deal they've done forever, and 1 minute before the interview was scheduled to go, the Cowboys said, no questions about the anthem, and the reporter said, fine, we're not doing the interview then. So,
what do you think the Bears do? I think they come out in unison.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't know what that... Like, are they going to lock arms again? Are they just going to hold their hands? I don't know.
90 guys. Various backgrounds.
I just think it's unfortunate. To me, the view on the NFL right now is you have a lot of players and teams. Like, I like that George McCaskey has joined Sam Acho on a lot of this stuff around the community, around the Chicago community. And that's what, at least locally with the Bears, it seems to be what it's about. Because you can only control so much. Unfortunately, you know, if the anthem protest had turned into that, the grassroots action at the local level in all these NFL communities, that would have been a success. That would have been exactly like the whole point of the thing. And unfortunately, it's the fighting back against the protests that's so misguided that is continuing to make this something it's not.
Well, people still have the right to their opinions. They have a right to be mad at it if they don't like it.
Right, but I'm talking more about the league. Like, the league the league kind of put its foot in the ground saying, we're not really supporting the players on this. They'd randomly make these comments and say they are. But when you, every single time, it's like, honestly, I don't understand their thinking on it. Like, I just think it's been so misguided. And instead of just going 100%, we're supporting the players on this stuff, and, you know, because it's a good cause. It's a good cause.
Well, it varies from team to team to team. I think the Jets are okay with it. The Dolphins are not. Even though Stephen Ross has been a little bit more forward thinking on some things, at least that's my understanding. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays. I can't foresee the Bears completely disobeying George McCaskey's wishes. It's just not in them. maybe they could get everybody to kneel for a second and then stand up. But George has always seen them as a team. He's, and they're his business, and he wants people to work together.
But I think the Bears are an example of actually a team that's handled this very well. Because from my understanding, just is the Bears have at least said, look, we're listening to you. We're listening to what this is truly about, and we're gonna actually take action on it, and we're gonna help you, and we're gonna do things in the community. And what we ask from you in return is that when the national anthem's getting played, that you stand there respectfully and don't protest it. And I guess that's exactly my point. That if the league had taken that stance from the beginning and said, hey, look, we're supporting you, we're going to go out there and do things with you, and we're listening to you, but can we not anger our fans that are getting so offended by the fact that you're doing this via the national anthem? Then I think this all would have been a much better outcome. Instead, the league, at least the perception they've put on, is that they're siding with the people that are just so offended by the anthem and not really listening to what it's about. I think the Bears locally have done a good job. I think the league as a whole has completely screwed this up.
To play devil's advocate here, is those people that they are listening to are also their consumers. And if we're going to talk about this being a business, you're talking about people who are paying customers of your business, the fans. You know, everybody talks about the fans, you know, the game wouldn't be itself without the fans. So these are the fans. Some of these fans, the heart and soul of the league, are offended.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you would just listen to the players and work with them, then the players would have stopped protesting the anthem. Yeah. Then you could have appeased those fans. Because they're not all the fans are against the anthem protests. I'm just thinking.
Well, I know that.
The approach and the overall message the league has given off is that we don't really care about what you're protesting. We just want you to stand there for the national anthem because we're worried about our TV ratings, which, by the way, aren't suffering.
They're fine. The TV ratings are fine. Yeah, the business is
but
a boom.
I can tell you for a fact the league's worried about it.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand.
Yeah.
You look at the top 10 shows of 2017, then the league was all over.
Well, it goes back even to the helmet rule. They're worried about a lot of things in terms of the survival of the league.
Yeah.
The game is changing. The mindset of people has changed. The numbers itself, their fan base is dwindling because the participation numbers are dwindling. So you're seeing them go into survival mode in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all part of it. It's all interlinked from the helmet rule to their stance on the anthem. It's all about their survival and their buck. It's their business. I don't want to sound like I'm taking any side here. It's just the truth.
By the way, one of the other reporters in Dallas you may have heard of is Dale Hansen, and he had a pretty good video yesterday calling out Jerry Jones on his hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah. He was talking during the national anthem with a hat on, Jerry Jones was. That video? Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. he was saying, like, you know, Jerry Jones is going to enforce his policy against his players for not, you know, standing at attention during the anthem. And then literally the same day, he was talking to somebody during the anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
So he called him out on that. Yeah.
Here's my idea on the anthem. A couple teams have done it. If you're going to take these stances on the anthem, right? Stop selling beer everywhere. Shut down the bathrooms. Ask for moments of silence in the concession lines. Ask them to put their hands on their heart and take off their helmets or their hats.
Yeah.
You see it all the time in stadiums. Everything looks good out there and everybody's standing around, but you go elsewhere. Well, you can hear the song being played. No one is respecting the anthem.
It's
just saying.
It's because it's not really the anthem that they're upset about. The people that are mad at the protests. It was Mike Ducey, Fox 4's Mike Ducey in Dallas that canceled his Jerry Jones interview. Jerry Jones claiming that the NFL is not letting him talk about it. But there's other ways to handle that. That could be your answer. If you can allow the reporter.
Wait, Jerry Jones is saying that the NFL, okay,
yeah.
Let's call it some more hypocrisy. Jerry Jones has always said and done whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Isn't this the guy who sued the NFL?
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the most powerful owners in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Anything else we should get to? There's going to be football.
We could talk about a little bit of football. Just one quick topic for you. Okay. Since this seems to be... Everybody's talking about Mitch Trubisky's conversation. After Roquan Smith, it's Mitch Trubisky's interceptions. People are concerned about him. I think people are overrating what they mean, overselling what they mean. How do you feel about Trubisky's picks in camp?
Not worried about him at all.
I think people are missing a few key points on them. One, they're trying a new offense. Two, sometimes he's throwing to Benny Fowler and Marlon Brown against your starting defense. They're rotating a lot of receivers in. Three, Matt Nagy wants him going down the field. He wants him testing out his receivers, testing out the route combinations, the concepts, all of that. Four, doesn't want him to check down. Not often. Not right now. Not in camp. People need to relax about Mitch Trubisky's interceptions.
I don't even understand why it's that big of a topic. I think people are just looking for stuff to worry about, to be honest.
It is the dog days of camp. We've had 2 full weeks, 10 practices without a game.
I've seen twice as many phenomenal throws as I have interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Those seem to be overlooked by some of these picks.
Yeah, I don't know why. And also, you know, wasn't it just a couple years ago that Jay Cutler went like 11 practices in a row without throwing an interception? And
everybody was celebrating.
And how many did he throw in week one?
I think 2 in the first half.
Yeah.
What year was that? 2014?
I think it was just, yeah. Might have been his last season. I forget.
Nah, I forget. Seems like another life ago. Now he's a reality television star. We started the show talking about Barry Cavallari.
Yeah, we did. We got it. We got that mention in there for Jay.
This is Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
But now John's is boycotting the show completely.
I have not seen it in a while.
Would you play Mitch on Thursday?
No.
At all?
No.
See, I disagree with that.
Why?
I would at least get him out there for a series just to go through the process. He's not going to get hurt. Get him out there in the huddle against the live defense just to take everything he's been working on, which is getting monotonous.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good break from the monotony. But there's a game a week from today, a week from Thursday.
True. But that's what I'm saying. Around just the corner. I'm not so much concerned about the experience or making throws or anything like that. I'm talking about everyone's been talking about how complicated the language is in this offense, and how long, like all the players are impressed with how Trubisky's been spitting out the plays.
Yeah.
Because they're long and there's a lot
to them. Arrow, Foxtrot, Zebra, right. Dice, Go, 29.
And the reason they're, each piece of those plays is for a specific grouping.
Yep.
So, like if you're the wide receivers, you might only have to listen to 3 words of 16.
And it's even longer if you put a kill play in there.
Right. And yeah. Mitch has to spit out all that. And he needs to stand there at the line of scrimmage, look at the defense, and know when to switch. Now, they're not going to show a whole lot out there. So, that again, that's not why I'm not really worried about the experience or making sure he throws the ball or anything like that. I'm just talking about get out there for the first time for one series, execute what Matt Nagy's been asking him to do in practice with the play calls, lining people up. Just do it once and get out. That's fine.
What if that series goes 9 plays? Well, then it's successful. Then.
That's good.
All good.
That's good. Then it's only something to build on. And if it's only 3 plays, you know.
Here's one thing I would consider is that it's like a kind of a homecoming for Mitch Trubisky.
It's part of it too.
His hometown of Mentor is only, maybe an hour and a half away from Canton, Ohio. So you don't have a lot of friends and family from the area, at least attending, so something to consider.
Yeah, I would play him. At least I don't have this, I don't think you can constantly have this fear that
you're going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, you got to get over
that. NFL coaches have that.
I know. Yeah. I know they do. Now, but if your counter argument is, well, most teams only have 4 preseason games, and that's going to be our approach in the next one. It's against Cincinnati. Then fine, yeah. I guess. But if you had this extra opportunity, how about even from Matt Nagy's point of view? You know, Mark Helfrich has been making a lot of these calls during practice. I mean, for Nagy, this is his first time on the sideline. He's got to coach the whole team and the offense at the same point.
Plays, yeah.
Well, give him the opportunity to get a couple calls out there.
He's talked about that. He actually greatly appreciates having the opportunity to do it 5 times. So even if it's not Mitch Trubisky, he's out there calling plays for Tyler Bray, Mark Helfrich is involved. The coaches are still coaching regardless who was playing, so they get used to their...
And don't overlook that. I mean, it maybe more than anybody, it's Matt Nagy who benefits from the fifth preseason game.
Yeah,
because he's not the one who's... He doesn't have to worry about getting hurt.
Yeah.
Except for the time Joe Paterno got hurt on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have been standing there.
Come on, Joe.
Jonathan Casillas just went right into him, took out his legs.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to happen to Matt Nagy.
Is that going to get bowled over?
Also, you can coach while you're hurt.
Yeah.
Your level of excitement for the Hall of Fame game.
Silence.
Yeah.
Nah, it'll be fun. It'll be football.
Probably not.
Vic's not excited?
Even the third preseason game, which I don't know where this falls in the Bears' calendar now because they got five. I don't get up for that even. I don't.
I don't have to go to the fifth one. Northwestern's opener's that night.
Oh, there you go.
I don't even have to watch it.
The fifth one's here.
It is.
Bill?
Against the Bills.
Bills.
An upgrade from the Browns? Although the Browns, well, I guess
I want to see Baker Mayfield. Would have been something.
Would he have played, though? Is Josh Allen going to play?
I don't know.
It's the last preseason.
Yeah, it depends on who's starting.
Yeah. Oh. All right, we better get out of here.
When's the next show?
It's Saturday. I don't know if you heard about this.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah. It's in
I set you up, man.
It's in Bourbonnais. Yeah. Hope to see everybody Saturday. It's our live episode.
10:30 to 11:30.
So practice starts at 8:15. And we're gonna be one of those I don't have the specific gate numbers, but it's like the main entrance as you're walking in, there's some tents. That's where most of the activity is that's not on the practice field. You'll see us in one of the tents. So practice is at 8:15. You get to watch.
We're right next to Staley.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the porta potties.
Yes.
Look for the
30 porta potties, and we're like 10 feet away.
Yeah, we're right next to those. That's where they're going to stick us. 10:30 to 11:30. From inside Bears training camp, we're going to be there. There's going to be some seats set up for you, so you can come sit there, hang out with us. We'll say hey. Be great to meet everybody at camp because we see a lot of you sort of in the crowd sometimes, but don't get to interact because we're working at that point. So this should be a lot of fun.
Come say hi.
Live episode from Bears training camp on Saturday. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. Read us, WGNRadio.com, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and rate and review, subscribe to the podcast any way you'd like to do that. It's available to you. We'll see you on Saturday in Bourbonnais.
Why do we have goats?
They're fertilizing your concrete there.
You mean they're pooping everywhere?